There's a change from the center of the church being Sunday, which is important, but now the center of the church is every day. That following Christ doesn't mean just coming to church on Sunday and being faithful there. But following Christ means every day, on mission, with God, in the community, wherever we are. One of the things that this is called increasingly is what's called the missional church and the incarnational church. And these two words are very popular in some of the more recent literature. The incarnation means God becoming man, and God with us. And so it is that Christians are to be incarnate. We are to be with God. We are to be with people, not just our own little clique. And we're to be missional. We're to be on mission with God, not just kind of worried about ourselves and our own little church. And so I think this is really a good innovation. One of the ways I see a change here too, from the center being on Sunday to every day, is that when I was a young pastor, I thought the most important thing I did was preaching. And so I would spend half my week in an office preparing a sermon, thinking that was the key to this church growing. When our church began to plateau and wasn't growing like I thought it should, you know what I did? I spent more time preaching, more time preparing, more time on sermons. Now what I would do is I would have spent more time everywhere, every day, out with people, meeting people in the community, being involved in maybe an organization, getting out of my study, getting out of the library, interacting with people. Because the center of the church is not just Sunday, and the center of Sunday is not just the pulpit. Those are important. But we have to be on mission with God every day. One of the churches that's innovated in this way, in a very exciting way, is a church in Houston, Texas. The pastor's name is Wes Brazelton, and the name of the church is Grace Bible Church. When we moved to Austin, Texas in 1997, Wes Brazelton was the youth pastor for our kids. Large church, had 10 different pastors. He was the youth pastor. And when we got there, he was a new youth pastor. And what he began to do was on every Wednesday night, he would invite 12 high school kids to come to his house for Bible study. And my kids did that for a year. Well, during that year, West was new, and he went to the high school. And he'd have lunch with kids in the church, but also with non-Christian kids. And he got to know a lot of non-Christian kids. And so in the next year, the second year of his ministry, what he did is he'd go to lunch at the high school, he'd talk to the kids from church and their friends who were not Christians, and he'd say to one of those kids who was not a Christian, "Hey, we have a Wednesday night youth meeting. Could we meet at your house? Would you ask your parents? Zacchaeus, Zach, could we meet at your house with our youth ministry?" And the kid would go home, and oftentimes the parents would say, "Yeah, that's great. I wish we had something good for our teenage kid to do. He's all over the place, and it'd be great to have him at our house and a group of good kids." But the most important thing was that West was seeing all these non-Christian kids come to Christ because he said, "I want to belong to you." And he gave them time to believe. And he saw that life was not just about being centered in the church on Sunday, but it was every day. Now, West became a pastor in Houston. This is what he did. If you want to be a member of their church, you've come, you started to go, you're belonging, you're doing, maybe you're playing your guitar in the band, but you want to be a member, you have to go through a Bible study for a whole year of being grounded in the truths of God's Word. You have to learn about the authority of the Bible, about the person of Christ, about the gospel, about the Trinity. You have to learn about all the foundational doctrines of Christianity for a whole year. But to become a member, that's not enough. You also have to have a testimony that you've trusted Christ. But to become a member, you have to agree to volunteer your time for at least a few hours a week in a secular service organization in the city of Houston. So rather than them starting a food pantry for poor people, you would be challenged to go volunteer in a food pantry. Rather than starting a counseling center, you would be encouraged to go volunteer in a counseling center out in the community. Rather than being involved in some kind of the care for hospice, in creating it in the church, hospice is a group in America that cares for people who are dying, you'd go volunteer with this organization called hospice. And so the salt is spread throughout the city. And today, the last I heard, this church of 500 members is involved in 200 different service organizations all over the city of Houston, because church is not just about Sunday, it's about every day. And West is one of my favorite pastors, and he's probably in his late 40s right now and doing a wonderful work of helping God's people be on mission. There's a fifth innovation that I see that's very positive, and it goes back to our look that real churches multiply. And this fifth innovation is that the measurement now for a healthy church, in a growing church, in a dynamic church, is not that just that it gets bigger, not that it just adds people, which is important. Acts 2, God added daily people to the church in Jerusalem. That's important. But the measure now is not just addition, but it's multiplication. It's that the apple tree starts another apple tree that starts another apple tree. When I graduated from seminary and was a pastor, I thought of the church as being successful if it was fruitful. And I'm sad to say that in Iowa, we never planted another church because I was thinking addition, not multiplication and reproduction. Today, as we work with 200 churches, of those 200 churches, 21 are brand new little church plants. And every one of them has been planted by one of the other churches. So our definition of a successful church is not that it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger through addition, but that this church sends off some people and starts a new church. And that that church would start another church. Because the new measurement is not just addition, which is important, not just being fruitful, which is important, but also multiplying. Rick Warren is a very famous American pastor, and he is noted in a book called Viral Churches. He tells his story that when he planted Saddleback Church in California, he had a commitment that they would plant one church, at least one church every year. In the first year, the church grew pretty well. It was about 130 people. And with 130 people, they planted their first church. And as the church grew, next year they planted another church. And they have faithfully planted at least one church every year for 30 years. You see, when we give, it's given unto us. And that church is now, I don't know how many thousands of people, but always planting a new church every year. And in fact, one year they even planted 17 churches in one year. So the future belongs to those who not only want to be fruitful, but those who want to multiply. And that's one of the innovations that I see, that the new measurement is not just addition, but multiplication.
TBS Seminary is a nonprofit project. Our joint effort will bring about the common purpose of making Christian education available around the world and developing good Christian servant leaders. You have a unique opportunity to partner in this effort through your prayer and or financial support of TBS Ministry. For more information, please visit tbsseminary.com.
One last innovation. And that is that good preaching, the innovation I see is that more and more people understand that good preaching is not just giving good advice. The good preaching always has to come back to the gospel. Tim Keller is a very famous American pastor. He pastors Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. This church is about 20 years old. Tim Keller is one of the best known preachers in America. Written a lot of books. You can read about him on the internet and probably order his books. I think he's my favorite preacher. I went to a conference a couple of years ago where he was talking about his preaching ministry. And he said that one day he asked his wife, "When are my sermons really good? And when are they just kind of mediocre?" And she said, "Well, honey, the really good ones are when Jesus shows up. The really good ones are when you clarify something in the message that leads us to Jesus, and not just some more good advice." Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said the same thing. He said that advice is counsel about something that hasn't happened, but the gospel is good news about what God has done in Jesus Christ. And so the gospel is Jesus. He's the good news. And when we preach, we ought to be able to bring it back to something Jesus did, like Zacchaeus, come down here. I need to go to your house today. Most impactful parts of our messages are going to be when we bring it back to Jesus and give people a glimpse of Him. And not just give 10 steps to a good marriage and 40 steps on how to be a parent and 50 things on how to work hard at work. Those are all important. But it's Jesus who is the glory of God. And when He shines through what we're saying, that's where the impact comes from. So that's the innovation I see, is that more and more are understanding in growing churches that it's not just about good advice. It's about the gospel. It's about telling people who Jesus is and relating Him back to everything in our lives.